The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy. We are going to dive back into our study. Today is our last Sunday in a current series we started 6 weeks ago. We had 5 weeks of teaching and 1 week of putting our what we're learning into practice when we did our free sale. And that was a great week. Over hundreds of families were touched because of your generosity. And this whole series has been a focus on what does it really mean to be rich and how to be rich, not in the world's way, but in God's way, how to be rich in the things that matter most. And our series started off based on this key verse. So I want to read it for you and then we'll dive in. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says this, command, not suggest, not highly encourage, but the word there is command. When you see the word command in Scripture, it's usually good to pay attention. Command those who are rich in this present world. So how many of you live in this present world? I know some of you don't think the person sitting next to you is always present, but this is the world we live in. And according to globalrich.org, how many of you have actually gone there ever since I keep saying that website every week? Nobody? Okay. I just made it up. It doesn't really exist, but it helps my messages. No. According to a real website, Global, now you're all going to start looking. And we highly encourage the use of electronic devices during services. You might have your YouVersion Bible or your Bible app, so, or you just might be texting someone or playing 2048. But anyway, I did reach the 2048 tile. It was awesome. So anyway, according to globalrich.org, back on track, if you make more than $30,000 a year out of the entire world's population, you make up the top 1% of the world's population. If God is speaking to the entire world and is saying, now to the group that is rich, we are that group. You may not feel rich. I know I don't usually feel rich. We live in a culture and a society where we consume everything and more than we make. But the truth is that we are rich. We are richly blessed by a God who richly provides. We have more than we need. And so you and I sitting in this room today, no matter where you are in the social ladder, we are rich and we've been entrusted with riches. And so he says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is what? So uncertain. But instead, put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Riches are from God. Blessings are from God. God doesn't want us to be miserable people while we're here on this short time on earth. He wants us to enjoy the blessings he gives us. And many of us, he'll bless even more so that we can be a blessing to others. He richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them, again, command, that word, circle it. It's important. We need to pay attention to what's following. Command them to do good. And to be what? Generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. This has been our key verse for the series. We've been pulling nuggets from it each week over the last 5 weeks. If you've missed any of the series, I highly encourage you to go back to our hopehillchurch.org or iTunes and subscribe to our podcast so you can take each week's building blocks as we lay this foundation of becoming the truly rich people that God has called us to be. So we're going to dive into the last week. The first week, we talked about good news, bad news. The good news is we're rich. The bad news is we're rich. The good news is that we have great opportunities all around us. We have good people opportunities. We have libraries. We have soccer clubs. We have hobbies. We have so many things that so many people around the world in poorer countries don't have at their disposal. And yet, we can get so obligated and so involved that our rich people opportunities become rich people distractions, and we can't figure out how to juggle everything and how to make ends meet. And, well, we really can't make it to church this week because we have the lake house or the soccer tournament or whatever it is, fill in the blank, and we have rich people problems that develop. And so we've got to be careful to realize how to handle the riches that God has given us. It's both good news and bad news. Part of the other bad news is that it becomes harder to depend on God. The Lord's Prayer talks about, give us our daily bread. Very few of us have ever had to pray that, God, help me to find food today. Now, some of you in this room, we know that some of you do struggle to put food on your table. And as a church, we want to be here to help meet those needs. That's what the church is about. Go back to Acts chapter 2. Nobody had need because the church came together and took care of each other's needs. And that's what we are to be as a church. We also can find it hard to not be distracted by our rich people problems. And we also, the bad news is, for those of us who have more, more is expected from us. There's greater responsibility placed on those of us who have been blessed. To he who has more, more is expected. The second week we learned about the deceitfulness of wealth, how we think that if we just build up piles and piles of cash, we can buy ourselves out of any problem. But as I talked about going to Chuck E. Cheese, you can spend hours and hours ranking up 700-800 tickets, and you go to a counter and walk away with the stupid finger puppet. And in the same way as adults, we build up these bank accounts and we build up these piles of cash, and we still have problems. We still have AC units that die. But thanks to God, he puts people in our family who can help us out. So thank you. I'll just do a shout out. You know who you are. Thank you for your help in my time of need when my AC died this weekend. We have deceitfulness of wealth. We think that if we get more, we're going to be happy. But the truth is we never have enough. It becomes increasingly difficult the more we make to give big. I told the story about a guy who was starting his business, and the first year he made $30,000, and that year he wrote his tithe check, $3,000 for the year. A couple years later, he rolled in $20,000, and he went to his pastor. I mean, he rolled in $200,000, and he went to his pastor and said, really, I'm supposed to give $20,000? That's so difficult. How can I give that much more? And the pastor was like, do you still want to put God first? And he was like, yeah. And he was like, well, let's start praying that God lowers your income. And then we can have money in the bank, but no peace in our hearts. We then talked the third week about we are to be rich in what God does give us. And those of us he gives more, he expects more. And we need to give more because we have more. And then last week we talked about doing more because God doesn't want us just to be good and rich in finances, but he also wants us to be rich in doing good, rich in good deeds. So it's a snapshot picture. We're going to take the next 20 minutes to kind of close this series out. And if you have your notes, you can fill in the blanks if you're that kind of person, or the paper there is there for you to doodle on to keep yourself awake while I share with you this morning. Here we go. So, the question that I want to start out this morning is what does the way that you spend your time and money say about what you value in life? The first statement we have in your notes is, what you do with your money and time reveals what you value in your heart. What you do with your money and your time reveals what you value in your heart. Jesus said this. Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be found there. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What we do with our time and money. So look at your calendar. What kind of stuff fills up your day planner? What kind of stuff fills up your scheduler? Look at your bank account or your bank records. Where does your money go? Those two things, more than anything else in life, will reveal the heart within you. And the question that we have for you to think about and to talk about with your spouse, your loved ones, your community groups this week is, what does your time and your money reveal about your life's priorities? Think on that. Jesus encountered a guy in the book of Luke. There was a guy who was wealthy. And in Luke chapter 12, we see that as Jesus was talking to this rich man, he had some information for this guy, because this guy was rich, but he was rich in the wrong way. Let's look at Luke chapter 12, verse 16 and following. It says this. It says, the ground of a certain rich man, again, whenever we see the word rich in scriptures, we should perk up because we are those who are blessed and are rich. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. For this guy, it was a good year, a great business year. Things went well for him. He yielded abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, what am I going to do now? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. It's time to take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. So this guy, he was blessed. He was blessed with an abundance, more than he needed. And so the mistake he made was he began to think and believe that all of this extra God blessed him with was for himself. And many of us in life will come into times where, I'm really sorry, my voice may not make it, just a moment. The mistake this guy made is, even though he had plenty, he thought it was all for himself. God goes on and speaks to him. And he says this. He says, but God said to him, you fool. I mean, just think about God calling you a fool. That's got to hurt. God said to him, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Now, what I don't want you to hear this morning is that God is against savings. I'm not saying that. What I don't want you to hear is that God is against you ending the year with a surplus. I'm not saying that at all. The point here, and the thing that made God angry, was not that the guy was rich, was not that the guy had an abundance. It wasn't that the guy had a savings. It was because the guy was rich in the wrong way. It was all about himself. God provides wealth. The scriptures tell us that. God will bless those who he wants to bless. And so God is a rich provider, but he doesn't ever allow us just to be selfish. God called him a fool, because the guy didn't know how to be rich. He was rich in the wrong way, rich towards himself and not rich towards God. So the question is this morning, how do we be rich towards God? If you read a passage in Matthew, now I'm getting it wrong, I think it's 25. Jesus is standing at the end of time and he's got a big crowd of people in front of him and he says, I want to say thank you to all of you over here. You blessed me. You fed me when I was hungry. You gave me something to drink when I was thirsty. When I was naked and sick, you took care of me. You clothed me. When I was locked up away, you visited me. And he turned to the other crowd and he said, you guys didn't do these things. You didn't help me at all. And they were like, when did we do any of this? Or when did we not do this? And Jesus said, when you did it to the least of those around you, you did it to me. So how are we going to be rich towards God? We're going to take care of one another. We're going to take care of the needs that God reveals to us in our midst now. And not just expect the blessing to keep coming so we can store it up for ourselves. I'm excited when I look at our church. I'm excited when I think about the things that God has already begun to do through us. Because we are a room full of rich people. We are a room full of people who put others first, who go out of their way to lift one another up, to pray for each other, but also to provide in times of need. We've had families in our church, outside of myself, who have had things like AC units fail. And some of you with that gift or skill was able to step in and save us a lot of money. We've had families in the church who couldn't afford to pay the rent from month to month. And we've had community groups come together and say, you know what? As the body of Christ, we're here to take care of one another, and we're going to pay your rent for you. And not just once, but we're going to take care of you as long as we need to. We've had people in the church step up and adopt families in need in our community for times around holidays or school supplies. In a couple months, we're going to have a big drive. We've got close to 200 kids that we're aware of and are connected to our church in different ways who can't afford even basic school supplies. And many of you last year adopted many of those children. That's coming up in August again. We are going to be a church that is irrational in our generosity because we have a God who gave more. And so we need to live a life that gives more. And so we are a room full of rich people. And I can't even begin to imagine the impact that we can have in our world as we continue to follow God and as God builds us to be the church he wants us to be. Last year, and part of this is leading up to my closing today. Last year, we had over 200 people financially give towards the work of God through Hope Hill Church. Of those 200 people, 44 were outside, not even a part of our congregation. I don't know if it's going to help, but thank you. Thank you, Margaret. Outside of our congregation, 44 different people contributed financially to the work going on here. Some of them were like, I told you about the guy through the appliance company, wrote a check for $2,000 saying, does your church help families out at Christmas? And one of our congregation members working there said, yeah, it does. Here's a check for $2,000, give it to your church. That kind of stuff. That's amazing. God will continue to provide to us as we continue to do as he leads us. And so we're going to be a church that is about making a difference, not just gathering together and hearing good stories about what other people are doing, but celebrating what God is doing in us and through us 7 days a week, not just an hour a week as we gather together for worship. We're going to be rich towards God and use the things he's blessed us with to make a difference. So, how are we going to do this? What does it look like? I want you to see a couple things. There are 68 of you sitting in this room, 68 families that have decided to call Hope Hill Church their home. More of you have done that, but there are 68 who have, like, literally said, signed a dotted line somewhere. And you give regularly. If those 68 people alone who have said, yes, we're on board, we're on mission, if those 68 people alone gave what the Bible would call a tithe, 10%, this next year, we would easily bring in $480,000. And that's a conservative estimate. That's taken some averages that are probably lower than what a lot of us actually make. $480,000. Last year, the ministry that Hope Hill Church was a part of, I think, cost us about $325,000. It would blow that number away. And there would be even more than we could do to help reach this community for the sake of the kingdom of God. If I were a farmer and my specialty was planting apple trees, okay, and I came up to a field that was empty, and my goal was to fill that field full of apple trees, would I be best to go and buy one group of seeds and plant it and take care of this one tree and bring it to maturity and hopefully it will produce fruit that I could then cut open and find more seeds and plant more? Would that be the better way? Or would it be better for me from the beginning to plant a bunch of trees and try to do our best to take care of all of them at the same time? Well, you might argue with me, but I think the better way is the second way. And I think that as God is planting Hope Hill Church, he's not wanting us to just be inwardly focused on our little apple tree. I believe God wants us to be kingdom-minded, and not just in planting a church, but in reaching and changing a city, a region. And I believe that as God continues to grow us, we're going to be able to help partner with other churches in our area. We're going to be able to help plant other campuses in our area. We're going to double and multiply our community groups within the neighborhoods. We want them to be little trees in every neighborhood, proclaiming the love of the gospel of Christ. And we want to do that. And as you contribute financially and you contribute through good deeds and your talents, we will never fall short of what God has for us. As we all come together as the family of God, great things are possible. So instead of, like the key verse said, instead of it, I think it's verse 18. I want to start there. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18. Just a reminder, it says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. As if living differently is not what true life is all about. True life is living it in God's way, taking care of one another. Instead of living counterfeit lives, we're going to realize that God has blessed us so we can be blessings, and we're going to live the life that He has called us to live. Remember, money promises only what God can truly provide. We will not settle for worldly riches. We want to be rich towards God, and we will take hold of life as God meant it when we live this way. So, we've been building this phrase, and I want you to say it with me as we've been saying it each week, to remind us and get it ingrained in us how God wants us to live. Say it with me. God has blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich. I will not trust in riches who richly provides because I have more. I will give more and do more. How to be rich towards God? Real quick, three ways. Number one, God wants you to be rich in good deeds. We've been talking about that all morning. 1 Timothy 6:18 is the part of the verse that says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. If you haven't noticed, many people are becoming more skeptical towards Christianity. Have you noticed that? More people in our world are becoming more skeptical to the things of God. And we want to be a kind of people that glorify God, not in just what we say, not in just how big a building we can build, but in what we do. Where do we get this from? 1 Peter 2:12 says this. 1 Peter said, live such good lives among pagans, people who just don't know who God is yet. Live such good lives among pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, though they are skeptical of you and your Christian ways, they may see your what? And glorify God on the day He visits us. Brennan Manning, an author that I love to read his stuff, he was quoted saying this. He said, the greatest single cause of atheism today is not scientists who teach evolution. It's not liberal politicians who legislate God out of the schools and the marketplace and everywhere else. The single cause of atheism today is Christians who acknowledge God with their lips, but walk out those doors and deny them with their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. We need to be about living and breathing and not just talking about the love of Christ. We need to be making a difference and an impact and glorifying God and transforming lives. God has called us to live out of response for the grace that He has given us. We're not saved by the good works that we do, as we talked about last week. But we are saved for good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. Each and every one of you sitting in this room, whether this is your church or not, before you were born, God made a to-do list for you to accomplish while on this world. He made a heavenly, divine do list that of things that He wants to use you to do while here. We need to start getting about the business of God. God does have a mission for us and for us as a global church. And He wants us to be on that mission with Him, joining Him in the work that He is doing. What are you doing to fulfill your part? What are you doing to live the kind of life that God wants you to live? It's time to get in the game and not just sit on the bench. You may not think that we're going to convert everybody by our good deeds. And the truth is that God will draw those to him who he will draw. But it's still our responsibility to go out there and to live lives that make a difference, to live lives that point to Christ. And even though they don't agree with what we believe, they will not be able to doubt the fact that we love each other and we love the community that God has put us in. They're not going to be able to accuse us of not caring, of just gathering together on our own in our holy huddles and ignoring the rest of the world and their problems. We have been put here to be a light in a dark place. And we have been put here to make a difference in the lives of those around us. Scripture says they will know we are Christians by what? Our love. And we've got to take that seriously. We've got to start loving God and loving others and showing that love through the good deeds that God has called us to do. Already, God has been doing miraculous things through Hope Hill Church. Over the last 3 years, from the beginning of our days, even before we officially launched as a church, we were about making a difference and helping bring hope to areas of hopelessness and establishing hope houses in communities where food pantries were needed, where tutoring centers were needed, where we reached out to families who speak Spanish only and to help teach them English as a second language. We've been seeing families come in, and out of the result of the efforts that we've been doing, we have seen over 150 people come to know Christ and be baptized here at Hope Hill Church. And we want to continue to see God multiply the work and the fruit that he is growing in our lives. It has only just begun. There is so much more that God has for us. And it's you and you and you and all of us working together to see these things come together for God and his kingdom. The truth is that many of the people who come here on Sunday mornings, the amazing thing is that before they even set foot in these doors, they will have already encountered Christ by your actions. They already see the gospel working out in their lives because of the love you're pouring out into the world around us. So, the first one is we're going to be rich in good deeds. Number two, we're going to be, God wants us to be rich in generosity. Proverbs 11:25 says this, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Now, what I don't want you to hear me today saying is that if you give God 10 bucks, he's going to give you 1,000 in return. I'm not saying that. We're not here to say if you're struggling financially, it's because you don't have enough faith. We're not here to preach a prosperity gospel that if you get your life right, you're going to have mansions here on earth. We're not saying that. There are many people who are extremely faithful and give everything they've got and are struggling to make things meet one day at a time. But God wants us to have, regardless of how much we have, he wants us to have hearts of generosity. My hope is that we will be seen as a church that is full of people who live lives of irrational generosity because we truly believe that it is more blessed to give than receive. Many of you are already living that way. Because of some of you literally, you simply wrote a check that helped 3 or 4 students go to summer camp last year. At summer camp last year, we brought about 60 students. And this year, we're hoping to bring, I think, 70 or so. By the way, today is a deadline for those of you who want to go to camp. A little commercial there. But some of you have written a check sending 3 or 4 kids to camp where their life was changed forever. Last year at camp, we had, I know at least 2 people who would not have been there without a scholarship give their life to Christ. We had several others give their lives to Christ. Some surrendered to full-time ministry. And it's because of generosity. It's because of some of you here, God richly provided for you and you made it possible for them to take a next step. I received a letter and an email about a week ago. This person wrote, he said, I want you to know I was at a conference recently. And while I was having lunch during one of the breaks, I heard a group of people talking about the generosity of a particular church in their area. they went on and on about how they have these yard sales where they give tons of things away for free, where they reach out to communities of people in need. I want you to know that as I sat there and listened, I felt prideful that I got to know that it was your church, Hope Hill Church. I want you to know that your ripples are reaching farther than you even know. This is what Hope Hill Church is to be about. We're here to be making a difference, not to glorify ourselves. You know, in some ways, I don't even care if they know who's doing it. We want to simply be out there making a difference and glorifying God and help people come to know that He loves them and He died for them. And He wants to be their King and their God, and He wants them to be His people. God wants us to be generous people so that they will see our good works and come to know our Father in heaven. And the third way, God wants us to be rich in relationships. If we're simply rich in money and material items, then we're missing what matters most. God wants us to be rich and enriching one another. John 13, 34 through 35 says this. Jesus said, "A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Get this. Circle these words if you have your own Bible open or highlight it in your electronic device. By this. What did he just talk about? Loving one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Again, I could fill up the morning with stories of examples of you loving on each other, helping people meet needs, helping people take care of one another. But I want us to be reminded that this is the mission of God. Even if you look back to a famous verse, some of you might even have a coffee cup with this verse on it. Jeremiah 29, 11. How many of you know that verse? A lot of you. A lot of us don't realize what that verse is in context with. If you start back at Jeremiah chapter 29, and I refer to this a couple times a year because I really believe that it's the foundation on which Hope Hill Church is built. Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 4, God says this. This is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those that I carried into exile from Jerusalem into Babylon. So God allowed these people to be in a foreign culture. He actually led them into exile, but there was a purpose. God said to the people, the Israelites, the chosen people of God, who we are now, He said, "Build houses and settle down there. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number and do not decrease. And seek peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you. Pray to the Lord for it, for that city. If it prospers, then you too will prosper." Skip up to verse 10. It says, this is what the Lord says when 70 years are completed. So it's not like God is saying, okay, take care of this for a week or two and then I'll take your needs. 70 years. That's about an average lifespan, right? God is calling us to be living lives of generosity, living lives of praying for our city, living lives of being a benefit to those around us, not just protesting against it from the outside, but getting involved in the center of life and making a difference from the inside out. He says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to the place. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. The first part, 4 through 7, is the if. If you do this, if you take care of the city, if you move in and do as I commanded you, then I will take care of you and do my... God many times will step up even without us stepping up. Amen? There are many times I've made mistakes and God still chose to bless. There have been many times where I've been off track and going the wrong way, and God was gracious and merciful and still chose to forgive me and bless me and use me. But still, what we need to see here is that God is calling us to be a part of what He's doing. And we can't just expect the blessing and the prosperity without doing our part. We are God's plan for making a difference in this world, and there is no plan B. We can't expect our governments to continue to develop organizations to make change in our world. God put the church here for it. And we need to make a difference. Acts chapter 2 paints a picture of how all the Christians from the beginning came together and they met each other's needs as they were aware. And some of them even sold things that they had to take care of the needs for others. We are going to be rich in the relationships with one another. And my hope is that if you're not involved in a community group where you're developing relationships with one another, get there. Take me seriously when I say, don't just shake hands for 30 seconds. Go to lunch. Get to know each other. Build each other up. God put us here for one another. Let's take that seriously. We're not going to be a church that settles for what the world calls riches or success. But we're going to instead learn what it means to be truly rich in God. We're going to realize that it involves deep, intimate relationships that sometimes, to be honest, are painful. But we need to learn to work through those painful steps together. It's going to take us understanding what it means to be irrationally generous and giving even more than we have back to God, because we can never outgive God. It means that we're going to learn to lay down our lives and we're going to use our gifts and the blessings for the betterment of one another. This is what it means to truly be rich and live the kind of lives that God has called us to live. Why? Say it with me. Let's go back to that key phrase. God has blessed us. Let's put that up on the screens. God, say it with me. God has blessed us with more than I need. I am rich. I will not trust in riches, but in Him who richly provides. Because I have more, I will give more. And I will do more. And that's what it means to be rich in what matters most. We're not done. But how do we make this practical? I've given you a ton of examples today of how we make this practical. As we begin to grow and continue to grow as the church that God has called us to be, I'm not just saying it. We need you. We need each and every one of us doing our part. We need each and every one of us stepping up and looking and saying, God, how can you use me? Where have you gifted me? Where have you blessed me so that I can be a part of what it is that you're doing? And some of you are literally sitting in these chairs and you're to be our teachers of our young children. You're to be our mentors and our shepherds of our youth. You're to help us reach out to the young adults in this community. Some of you will become church planters as we plant other churches in the near future. Some of you will become campus pastors. Some of you will become people who are just disciple makers, pouring in and sharpening one another. But each and every one of us are needed to make the next steps happen. One of the next big changes we have coming in our near future as a church is going to 2 services. There are a number of reasons why we should be doing this. One is we got a ton of people back there serving right now. There's probably over 100 total people in the background that aren't in service week to week. And we want to be able to have a time so they can sit in one service and be equipped and encouraged and challenged and serve another. And what we also need is that we don't want anybody having to do all the work by themselves. And so if enough of us sign up and get on board, we can create rotations. And you might have 1 week a month that you come in and help set up chairs or help set up screens. Right now we're trying to build a few teams, 3 to 4 teams, of how many on each team, Kevin? 10. I mean, if we could take us right now and just say, okay, which 10 of you will do the first week of the month? Which 10 of you will do the second week of the month? And we're not going to leave today until we get all 10 lists, all 4 lists. I'm not joking. No, we're not prepared to do that, or else I would, but we all have a part to play in this. And you need to be asking God, God, what is my part? But I'm not giving you the freedom to say, hey, I just haven't heard yet, so I'm going to keep waiting till I hear. You have to just get serving, and then God will direct your steps. Anybody from the Navy in here? How far does a battleship have to travel before it can turn around 180 degrees? A lot. A long ways. a battleship. What he said, okay? Sometimes in order to get where God wants you, you just got to start moving. A battleship has to start moving forward, even if it's going in the wrong direction, before it can even turn around. And so we want you to get on the teams where you can easily plug in, our greeting teams, our hospitality teams, our setup and tear down teams. And while you're wrestling with, do I have what it takes to teach others? Do I have what it takes to shepherd and mentor another? Do I have what it takes to whatever, fill in the blank? Just start serving and God will equip you and prepare you for the next steps. We want to go to two services in the fall. September 14th is our launch date. And we want to build a launch team, a group of us who are prepared to do all the things that need to be done to make that happen. Sure, some of you are going to pick one service over the other, but we want some of you to come and serve one service and come and worship another. And it won't even some of you are already here from 8 in the morning till 1 as it is. Now you'll just be doing different things. We're not going to extend the length of the day. We're going to do a 9:30 service and an 11 is what we're aiming for. The services will become a little shorter to fit them both in. We need you to make this happen. Here's a couple slides to show you where you can get involved. First, the care ministry. This is taking care of people in our area in need, people in our church. We need people who can encourage, support, and care for others. How many of you ever cooked a meal for a family in need? How many of you have done that for Hope Hill Church? Okay. We need you. I mean, right now, there's 3 or 4 families that could use a meal. We've got surgeries going on. We've got babies being born, all kinds of weird stuff. And these families could use a blessing. Arranging rides. We've got a couple of people in the congregation who get picked up every week. And sometimes it's difficult for the same person to pick up every week. And so if you live in different areas, you can find out if somebody in your area needs a ride, and you can get on a rotation or a list, or maybe they're like just a block or two away from you, and it'd be easy to pick them up. Visiting with the sick, those in need. God has gifted some of you to be caregivers. We need to hear about it. You need to get using those gifts. Next, the first impressions team. Basically, that's all our greeters, our ushers and hosts, our coffee and bagel and pastry team. Again, thanks again to Panera. They donate every week, and a ton of the stuff, like back there right now, you'll see a ton of bagged stuff. That's bread that we want you to take home and give to families in need. We go out to areas in need and drop it off in some of the local neighborhoods where we know there's need. Get involved. And we need some people to start leading. We want to double all our current teams. So we need some of you to step up as like team leads, not just doers, but we need some of you to take on leadership and helping develop the team so we can continue to grow. The next team, set up and tear down teams. It's a big one. Every week we come in here, we set up all the pipe and drape. Some of you haven't even seen what we do to the classrooms. I encourage you to, today, if you're interested, just go and look at some of the areas. Now, we do have a safety team we're developing, so if somebody stops you and says, who are you, what are you doing around our children, don't take that offensively, okay? But let them know, hey, I'm just interested in possibly setting up and tearing down, and get on board. We need to build these teams so that by September, we're ready. And by September, what our goal is to have a setup team and a teardown team so that you're not doing both and so that you're not doing it every week. And so it's going to take people to make this happen. Next team, student ministry. Guys, we need more of you. It's been said that to truly impact a student's life, there needs to be 5 active adults involved in their life. And that's outside of mom and dad. So we as a church, we want to surround our teenagers, let them know that they're loved. We want to mentor them. We want to care for them. So whether it is you're chaperoning events, you're helping transport kids to different functions, or showing up each week to be a small group leader, we'll help you take the steps. The question is, do you have a heart and a passion for it? We'll help you connect the dots if you do. Just let us know. Next team. Oh, there's several there. Go back. Oh, that was all. Well, AV tech team. Sorry, that caught my eye. That's probably on another slide, but children's ministry, again, we need people who can just hold babies and love on them. We need people who can teach. The large group time back there, kind of like a version of me, we have somebody back there teaching each week. We have small groups that happen each week. We have people who are working the AV and sound system back there, all that kind of stuff. Keep going. community groups. This is really where the relationship formation happens among us, where we get together once a week for a meal. How many of you have been a part of a community group? Good number. If you haven't yet, I encourage you, find one. We've got, I think, 8 or 10 right now, and our goal is to double them by the end of the year. So get involved in the community group. If you would like to be considered as a community group leader, a discussion leader, or a host where the group could meet at your house, let us know. We need you. We need you to accomplish the mission that God has for us. And so let us know and we'll help you take the next steps. What's up there? This is our mission, H2Go. Our mission team that looks at our community and it's constantly trying to say, how can we take care of people in our neighborhood? How can we take care of people in our school? By the way, I think it's next week that we're going to say thank you to Ashland Elementary. Our kids have been writing cards thanking all the teachers for us being able to use the school. We're going to drop off some things here to say thank you. Our H2Go team kind of organizes and coordinates these events, our free sales, our backpacks, sponsorship system, so many things. And we know there's more needs, but we need more of you helping lead us. That's what this team does. It coordinates and leads events to get us moving forward. The prayer team, every week at the end of service, I talk about prayer teams in the back, people who just want to help pray for you. Maybe you have a heart of praying for people. We'd love to get you involved in the prayer team. We'd love to get you involved in praying for our prayer needs on a regular basis. What else? AV Tech, making all this stuff happen. It's growing. We've got 3 or 4 people back there running things this morning. But we need more, especially if we're going to multiple services. We need you helping on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights for youth group, in the back for children's. People working on our website, people working on production outside of Sundays, all kinds of stuff. Worship band. How many of you are musically talented and aren't a part of our band? A couple. Brianna, I saw you raise your hand. Some of you have gifts and you need to start using them, okay? You do. God has given us all something. I'd love to see us have dance regularly, worship to God, worship paintings. I'd love to have us have DJ and turntables. That would be awesome. That would be amazing. Drama, skits, poetry, some of you writing. Thomas Turner wrote our Palm Sunday scripts. Some of you have gift for writing. We want you guys. Photography, video. Every person has a gift to share, to better each other. We're going to be rich and taking care of one another. We're going to be rich and using the gifts, the talents, the blessings that God has given us to build each other up. Administrative stuff, behind the scenes things. Maybe you can serve in our, we have new offices and they need to be painted. Some of you are good painters. Actually, they're almost done being painted. But again, thanks to many of you who volunteered. Wow, there's so many. So many different areas. One more. That's why we need you. We need each and every one of you. A lot of these things are being done. Like Nathan, I think, is involved in every single one of these slides so far. And he made the slides. Is the message getting across? We need you. And we don't need you just reading the slides. We now need you filling out the job assignments that back each of these slides up. So, God has so much for us to do. As we close our service today, let us remember that we are only able to do these things because of what Christ did first for us. He gave his life for us so that we can now live for him. And we remember that often as we take a piece of bread, a symbol of his body broken for us, as we dip it in that juice, a symbol of the blood shed for us. And my hope is that first you would realize that God invites you into relationship with him. So if you've never taken that first step, let that be your first step today. Yes, God, I invite you into my life. Make me a child of yours. Make me a new creation. I give my life to yours. Because you gave up yours, I give you mine. Come into my life and make me new. And that should be your first step today. My hope and prayer is that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that you will take that step today. And then for the rest of you, it's time to figure out your mission. It's time to figure out where you fit. And let us come to Christ saying, God, thank you for doing everything for me. Here's now what I give to you. And let us give our lives. Let us say, God, here I am. Use me. Send me. And God will accomplish amazing things through us. As our worship team comes, I'm going to close this out with prayer. And I invite you just to respond as you feel led. Come and take communion as an act of giving back to God. God, I give you my life. Share with our prayer teams. Share with me what God is laying on your heart. Let us pray together. Talk to us. Fill out that connection card. Hey, I'm interested in helping in this way. And we will help you take the next step. God, thank you so much for what you're doing through us and in us. God, and it's because of you that we're able to do these things. And so, God, we pray that you are glorified by everything that happens here at Hope Hill Church and in our lives as individuals, as we are the church on mission for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and worship. Come, take communion as a remembrance of what God did for us. And we are ready to pray with you as well as God leads you.